Strong voice.
Strong opinions.
The Rob Snow Show returns on Rogers TV and City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
Peter Fraser is back for a Money Monday. Peter's with Cardinal Planning, Associate Portfolio Manager, Manulife Securities Incorporated, and Cardinal Planning here in Ottawa, Certified Financial Planner. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Rob.
Great to hear from you today, Peter. So,
you too.
The federal budget, big spending, big taxing budget, but let's not focus on the deficit, okay? What's in it for us? What's in it for us? How will it impact our bank accounts, our wallet, and our financial plans? Housing, they call it a housing budget. What's in there for housing?
Yeah, well, let's take a look at that. We can do a deeper dive on a few of the items, but obviously number one would have to pertain to housing, under the aegis of more help to save for the first home. So what's a little interesting in this one is up to $40,000 in new tax-deductible contributions. And that is going to include tax-free growth on the money and tax-free withdrawals. And I kind of feel this might move the needle on financial planning opportunities. So I thought we could talk about that for a few minutes. It's going to be called the First Home Savings Account, more FHSA, so more things to go along with the other financial acronyms. But it's sort of like an RRSP, a TFSA, and the home buyer's plan on steroids. And I thought I'd tell you why.
Okay, go ahead.
So it's RRSP-like because it's got a certain amount each year that can be contributed to the new plan, and it becomes tax deductible. So that's up to $8,000 in a year at this point. Doesn't appear to be cumulative. In other words, you got to put it in this year. You can't pick up $16,000 next year. I suspect that could change. It's like a TFSA because it's anticipated the withdrawals from the FHSA will all be tax-free, so that's beneficial.
Okay.
And it performs like the HBP, the home buyer's plan, because it allows your assets to be specifically used to help pay for that first home. So I think we can identify three opportunities here. One is, I think it's a no-brainer that you open an FHSA if you've never owned a home before, okay, make the contribution, get a tax deduction. In certain circumstances, you're probably going to get a refund by doing this. Now, bear in mind it operates alongside RRSPs or anything else. So you could use that refund to reduce your debt. You could use that refund to contribute to the RRSP. Maybe you make a TFSA contribution, or you even just roll it over and make next year's first home savings account contribution. So I think there's a bit of a cascading opportunity there with the same dollars.
Okay.
Second part, this is interesting. You can transfer your RRSP monies to the FHSA. So say I don't have $8,000 this year, but I do have that in my RRSP. I can swing it over there. The benefit ultimately is that you don't have to repay these FHSA dollars. Anybody who's used a home buyer's plan before knows that it's basically a loan out of your RRSP to yourself, and it has to be repaid at around 1/15th per year of what you borrowed. So this is a new one where, you know, you may be able to shuffle some of what's in your collection. And the last part, because I'm kind of big on this intergenerational wealth transfer component, but yeah, I really think this makes for an easier conversation between generations. I told you about that planning family wants to put together three slices of $50,000 deposits for three children's homes. This is a really great way to deposit, you know, the maximum into three new FHSAs and have that happen a little bit more gently. Okay,
so that was one of the things I was going to ask you. Would it be advisable for, say, a parent who worries about their child's ability to buy a home, have them open an account in, say, the child's name or whatever, and put?
Yeah, I mean, the child has to be age of majority, obviously.
Oh, okay.
But,
okay,
you know, the reality is I think it's a really good tool. It's worth talking about. It's worth talking
worth
to
a
financial planner about.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, as I said, I think it'll move the needle. There are other things there that I think you and Ryan were kind of touching on, but curbing speculation, flipping taxes on houses that are held for less than 12 months.
Yeah.
The doubling of the first-time homebuyer's tax credit. I mean, that's not massive. It's $1,500. You're probably your moving van cost. they're going to increase supply, but I kind of think that's a nothing burger when you look at it closely, because supply jurisdiction is largely municipal.
Well, plus, so. If you were going to, say, engage in home flipping, this is one of the kind of the gaping holes is if they're going to, say, buy a house and sell it within 12 months, it'll be taxed as business income,
right.
I understand it, right? Well, why would I just settle it in the 13th month and not the 12th
right.
month?
12 months and 2 days,
Yeah, something like that, right.
Yeah, I think there's... I think that's kind of in the window. I don't think it's got a big impact on that
okay.
side.
Okay, so let's move along. It's very interesting. Okay, Peter's
dental care,
very...
we know about household earnings of $70,000 or less, starting with kids under 12 right away. They hope to have that phased in by 5 years. The other one I think has some impact that we just want to keep an eye on at the moment is this bank and insurance company tax. The rate is going to go from 15 to 16.5%. And I love this one. It's a one-time Canada recovery dividend. Boy, we bend over backwards to avoid the T word.
Yes, we do.
It's a tax of 15% on their taxable earnings over $1 billion. So why does this matter? Fact is, most Canadians own bank stocks, either directly or in their mutual funds and pension plans. And Moody's is already out saying it's a new tax burden that's credit negative to the impact of profitability. So we want to watch that.
Okay.
And the last one is if we've got small business owners, and I suspect we do in the audience, but they're raising what's called the phase-out ceiling from $15 million of taxable income up to $50 million. As a small business owner, I can tell you that's a good thing. It leaves small businesses with more tax cash for reinvestments, for profits, and even for meaningful things like helping make more robust employee benefits available and so on. So some good things there.
Okay. And some small ticket items, some other small ticket items?
Yes, the ultra high net worth tax might interest you, Rob.
Oh, very much so. What do I need to know? Yeah.
They're going to revisit what's called alternative minimum tax. It's kind of a big statement, but they're going to go and get the wealthiest at some point in time. Surrogate support, people trying to become parents gets more money. A review of crypto. So I want to actually look at that in the coming weeks. They want to look at the stability and security of digitalization of our money. And then long-term care and mental health. These are subject to workouts with the provinces, but somewhere between $3 and $3.5 billion after the pandemic laid bare the infrastructure lack of support for Canada's most vulnerable. So,
I don't know if they keep talking about alternative minimum taxes and another more surcharges on the super wealthy and. Taxes on luxury boats and luxury
planes,
cars.
Yeah.
I may have to, really double down on my plan to move to a Caribbean tax haven, Peter, the way things are going.
Yeah. I think we'll close with this. Manulife and my research put it best. They said it's largely housing ambitions funded by big finance. So
Okay. Very interesting. All right. Well, Peter, another interesting one. And next week we'll only be about a week away from the tax filing deadline. So
that's right.
For all the procrastinators like me and like David, you'll give us our crash course.
We'll get there.
On some of the things we need to know at tax time. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Rob.
Speak soon. Peter Fraser from Cardinal Planning and Manulife Securities. And that's your Money Monday. Sam LaPrade is standing by with the Sam LaPrade Show right after the noon news, and this is City News.
The Rob Snow Show.
Weekdays 9 to noon on Rogers TV and City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
Number one for local news in Ottawa and the Valley.